Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Dalid. We are holding on daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, 10 lines from the end of the page on Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. That's where Elisha left off yesterday. I want to thank Elisha again for covering the shiur. We'll be doing a lot more of that soon, but I wanted to thank him. So we're holding it about 10 lines from the end of the page on daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. We're really in the middle of the sugya, but it's going to be sort of a new topic within the sugya. What I mean by that is that the Mishnah had said something that is difficult to understand, and we have three different approaches to understanding the Mishnah. The first two approaches we did yesterday, the third approach we're going to do today, and everything we're going to discuss today is going to be the aftermath of that third approach. What's the issue with the Mishnah? The Mishnah appeared on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah seemed to assume that Yadayim, which are only Shnios, can be Metame Chulin. That even though Yadayim only have a status of a Sheni Lutuma, and normally that's where Chulin ends, meaning Chulin cannot become a Shlishi, only Truma can become a Shlishi, only Kodesh can become a Revi'i, Yadayim, which are, and normally when Tuma gets transmitted from one thing to the next, it always goes down a level, yet Yadayim are able to be Metame Chulin. So the Gemara tries to figure out, why is it that Yadayim, which are only Shnios, can be Metame Chulin? So we had one possibility that we were talking about Chulin that was purchased with Kesef Meiser Sheni. And then we said that maybe the case of the Mishnah is Yadayim Tchilos, that the Yadayim were actually a Rishon and were not a Sheni. So today we're going to discuss the third possibility, which is that the Mishnah is talking about Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. And that's really what the entire daf is about the status of Chulin that's treated with a higher level of Tara sensitivity and Tuma sensitivity than it really demands. Chulin Shnas Al Taras Truma, Chulin Shnas Al Taras HaKodesh. So that's really going to be the primary topic of the daf. So let us begin. We are at Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Rav Yoshaya, 10 lines from the bottom of the page, on daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So the important thing to remember is that if a person is mekabel upon himself to eat chulin with taharas hatruma, so the all of his chulin food now has the din of the taharas shel truma, meaning in the sense that they can become tameh even by touching a sheni l'tuma, meaning they can become a shlishi l'tuma, even though normally chulin cannot become a shlishi l'tuma, but by you deciding to treat this chulin like truma, so now this chulin can take on the status of truma in the sense that it can become a shlishi l'tuma, just like truma itself can become a shlishi, l'tuma. If someone is mekabel upon himself to eat a chulin al taras hakodesh, so then it takes on the status of kodesh, and if it touches a sheni l'tuma, it can become a shlishi l'tuma. If it touches a shlishi l'tuma, it can even become a revi'i l'tuma, because that's what kodesh can do. So if you determine that you're going to treat something as truma or as kodesh, it will then take on that status of truma and of kodesh. That's the basic idea of the background to everything that we're going to be discussing. Now, why would a person do this, to decide to eat, that he's going to eat his chulin al taharas hatruma or al taharas hakodesh? So the pashtus is, Rashi points out, that he does it to be margalatzmo, to accustom himself to taharas kachim, that when he comes to eat kachim, he should be used to it already, and he should know how to treat kachim properly, because if you have a person who's totally unaccustomed to tuma and tahara, he's likely to make a mistake when it comes time to eat truma or kachim. So we don't want him to make a mistake. He doesn't want to make a mistake himself. He wants to protect himself from any type of mistake. The Gemara is going to imply later on, actually, that the reason that one is mekabel to do this is because of a chashash that maybe by mistake he'll confuse kodesh for chulin and he'll come to eat kodesh betuma. So that's another possible reason why a person might do this, not only to accustom himself in the rules so that he'll know how to handle kodesh, but that when he's handling kodesh, he should be absolutely safe in the sense that he shouldn't confuse chulin for kodesh and come to make any mistakes on that level. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Rav Yoshaya, Hacha, our Mishnah, which does not allow eating basar that was hukshal kabbalas tuma while your hands are tamei, well, why, what would be the problem? Your hands are only a sheni l'tuma, is b'chulin shnas al taras hakodesh askinan. We're talking about chulin that is dealt with the sensitivity of kodesh, and that's why even though the hands are only a sheni l'tuma, but b'kodesh a Sheni has the ability to make a Shlishi, and the same is true with Chulin Shanas al Taharas HaKodesh, Udalok Rabbi Yeshua. But you should know that our Mishnah, therefore, is against Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua holds that a Sheni does not make a Shlishi when it comes to Chulin Shanas al Taharas HaKodesh. And the Gemara is going to demonstrate that that's Rabbi Yeshua's Shita. So the simple pshat, the simple understanding is that Chulin Shanas al Taharas HaKodesh is treated exactly like Kodesh, and therefore a Sheni can become a Shlishi, Shlishi can make a Revi'i, but Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Yeshua would hold that even with Chulin Shanas al Taharas HaKodesh, a Sheni does not have your Yadayim Shnios, your Sheni hands, do not have the ability to make anything into a Shlishi. Where do we find that Rabbi Yeshua holds such a thing? Ditnan. It is a Mishnah in the second parak of Maseches Taharos. That Min HaTorah, a person can only become Tameh al Yedei an Avatuma. A person cannot become Tameh through a Toldos HaTuma. Toldos HaTuma means not the original source of Tuma, like a Rishon Tuma. So Min HaTorah, a person himself cannot become Tameh from a Rishon Tuma. But the Chum made a Gzeira that a person who eats Tameh foods or drinks Tameh drinks, even though those food or drinks are only a Rishon Tuma, they're only a Toldos HaTuma, that the person is going to be Tameh. So the question is, how Tameh? What exactly is included in this this Gezerah? This Gezerah is a Machlokes Rishonim, exactly how many Gezeros there were along these lines, about eating Tameh foods and having that impact you when you eat Tameh foods. The Rashi's Shita over here is that this is what we call in Shas the Psul Gviya. It's mentioned in the Mishnah Maseches Erevin and Daf Pei Beis, and the Gezerah is dafka for someone who eats a chatzi pras. That's pras is a loaf that has mazon shtei su'udos. A chatzi pras is therefore mazon su'uda achas. It's a machlokas tanaim in Maseches Erevin between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's the Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's four beitzim, the Chum hold that it's three beitzim, but only a person who eats that much, a chatzi pras of ochel tameh, himself becomes tameh. However, Rabbi Nutam in Sefer HaYashar, and it's quoted in Tosfos Maseches Shabbos, holds that the Gezerah of Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon that we're about to discuss is not part of the Gezerah of Psul Gviya. These are actually two separate Gezeros. One was part of the Yud Ches Davar and one preceded the Yud Ches Davar. The Yud Ches Davar are the 18 Gezeros that I mentioned at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. So the Tosfos understands that this was a Gezerah, that a person shouldn't make a mistake and say that just like you're allowed to eat Truma after you eat Tameh food, even though they touch while they're in your stomach, so too you're allowed to eat Truma. The Tameh food and Truma food are allowed to touch outside of you eating them. So they made a Gezerah dafka by eating Tameh foods with the shear of Chatzi Pras, and dafka li'inyan the Isra of Achilas Truma. But the Gezerah of Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon that's mentioned over, so that's the Gezerah of Psul Gviya. The Gezerah over here is a totally different Gezerah, and this is not limited to eating a Chatzi Pras. Even if you eat less than a Chatzi Pras, this Gezerah would apply according to Rabbeinu Tam. So either this Gezerah is part of the Yud Ches Davar, it's one of the Gezeros that we refer to throughout Shas as Psul Gviya, that's Shitas Rashi, or it's an independent Gezerah, but bottom line is the Gezerah is about a person eating Tameh food becoming Tameh, which on a Daraisa level doesn't happen because the food is not an Avatuma. So if it's not an Avatuma, it doesn't have the capacity to be Metameh, a human being, on a Daraisa level. So what is the Gezerah? Rabbi Lezer Omer Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon, a person who eats a Rishon Latuma Rishon. He himself becomes a Rishon Latuma. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos explains because we're afraid that he's going to eat Ochlim Tameim, and while they're in his mouth, he's going to take a Truma drink. He'll drink, let's say, wine of Truma while Tameh food is in his mouth, and that will be Metameh the Truma. So Tosfos raises the question, then why do we have to make the guy a Rishon Latuma? It would be good enough to make him a Sheni Latuma, and then he'll just by being a Sheni Latuma, he'll avoid putting Truma food in his mouth, because he knows that if he's a Sheni Latuma, he can make the Truma food into a Shlishi. So Tosfos works on that problem. Why it is that we have to go so far, meaning I understand you're going to make a Gezerah because you don't want him to put Truma food in his mouth while he's eating Tameh food, but why do you have to go that far with the Gezerah to make him a Rishon Lutama? Okay, but that's an issue Tosfos deals with. So Reb Lezer says someone who eats a Rishon himself becomes a Rishon Lutama. sheni, someone who eats food that's a sheni l'tuma, sheni, himself becomes a sheni l'tuma. Shlishi, shlishi, someone who eats food that's a shlishi l'tuma, becomes a shlishi l'tuma. Even though in general, when tuma transmits from one person to the next, or from one item to the next, it always goes down a madrega, this is the din midrabanan, that it stays the same, that it gets transmitted from the food to the person, and it stays on the same madrega. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, why are we quoting all this? We're quoting all this to demonstrate that Rabbi Yeshua's shita, that Rabbi Yeshua holds that a sheni does not make a shlishi by chulin shnas altar sakodesh. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, ha'ochel ochel rishon sheni. Now, if you eat a rishon l'tuma, then you become a sheni l'tuma. I'm sorry, ha'ochel rishon v'sheni sheni. If you eat either a rishon l'tuma or a sheni l'tuma, you become a sheni l'tuma. But shlishi, if all you ate was food that itself is a shlishi l'tuma, then sheni l'kodesh. You become a sheni only with regard to kodesh. That if you touch kachim, that kachim is going to become a shlishi l'tuma. But ve'ein sheni l'truma. You do not passel truma by touching the truma. So we're going to have to explain what Rabbi Yeshua means exactly, or what his logic is. But Rabbi Yeshua explains that if you eat a food that's a rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, b'chulin shnas altar truma. What are we talking about? Rishon, sheni, shlishi. We're talking about food that is chulin, that's treated with taras truma. You're mekabel to eat your chulin with the tara level of truma. And therefore, this chulin has the same din of truma, that if it touches a sheni l'tuma, that sheni l'tuma will become a shlishi l'tuma. So, that item that touches a sheni l'tuma will become a shlishi l'tuma. So it says in Gemara, so what did Rabbi Yeshua say? That all of this is b'chulin shnas altaras truma. Altaras truma in, but altaras kodesh lo. Yeah, when do we say that it has the din of truma? When you decide to eat your chulin al taharas truma. But a chulin that's treated al taharas kodesh does not take on the status of kachin. Kasavar, because Rabbi Yeshua holds, chulin shnas al taharas kodesh less bu shlishi. The chulin that's treated with the tara of kodesh does not have a shlishi l'tumah, because a person does not have the ability to be mekabel on himself to eat chulin b'taras hakodesh. It's a meaningless statement. If a person says that he's going to eat truma al taras hakodesh, it's dvarim b'telim. It doesn't accomplish anything, Rashi says. Because someone who eats kodesh, there aren't that many people that eat kodesh. It's something that's not shchiach at all. So the chamor masakin, that you cannot determine that chulin food should take on that status. It's not it's not shchiach, and therefore you can't be the whole idea of eating something, eating chulin al taras ha whatever ha truma ha kodesh, is because we're afraid that you might come to confuse it. You might not be accustomed to the dinim when you come to eat the truma, when you come to eat the kodesh. Yeah, so says Rabbi Shua, that's only by truma where it's something that's common to eat, but you're not going to make such a safeguard when it comes to kodesh, which is so uncommon to begin with. So not only does chulin shnas al taras hakodesh not have the status of kodesh, it doesn't even have the status of sensitivity to tuma that truma has. It's treated like mamish chulin, which the end of the line is a sheni l'tuma, can't even become a shlishi l'tuma. So you can't say that. So all of this is to prove that our Mishnah cannot be following the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, because our Mishnah said that your hands, which are a sheni l'tuma, could be metame chulin food, chulin meat, that's nasal taras hakodesh. According to Rabbi Yeshua, there's no such thing as chulin shnasal taras hakodesh. There is no heightened sensitivity by chulin shnasal taras hakodesh. So you have to say that our Mishnah follows the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, because our Mishnah said that there's a chulin food that can become a shlishi l'tuma, and it sounds like that chulin food is whether it's nasal taras hakodesh or whether it's nasal taras hatruma. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, only if it's nasal taras hatruma, not if it's nasal taras hakodesh. So I asked the Gemara, yeah, but v'lukma b'chulin shnasal taras hatruma v'Rabbi Yeshua. Why do you have to say that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yeshua at all? Can't you say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua and it's just talking about chulin shnas al taras truma? Meaning, true, Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of chulin shnas al taras kodesh. Fine, so if it's chulin shnas al taras kodesh, he won't become a shlishi l'tuma, but he accepts the notion of chulin shnas al taras Hatruma, so why can't you say that that's what Rabbi Shimon said, you yadayim or shnios, they're touching basar, which is chulin, that you're treating bitar as hatruma, and therefore the basar is going to become a shlishi. Says Mar Lo Sal Kadai Tech. You cannot say that that's the case for Mishnah, the Katani basar, di betruma basar miyika. See, in order to make chulin shnios al taras truma, it has to be a type of food that would be eligible to be truma. Meat can never be truma. Meat can be kachim, but meat can never be truma, because truma is only on that which grows from the ground, and meat doesn't grow from the ground, and therefore our Mishnah can't possibly be talking about chulin shnios al taras truma. Elamai bekachim chaya bekachim yika. Says the Gemara, what? So you want to say our Mishnah soma chulin shnios al taras hakodesh, but a chaya cannot be brought on the mizbeach. Only behem and of can be brought on the mizbeach. If the reason that we guard chulin shnios al taras hakodesh is to avoid eating by accident basar kachim betuma by a chaya, there is no such concern. So the Mishnah again has to be talking about dafka chulin shnas lataras truma, and therefore like shitas Rabbi Yeshua and not shitas Rabbi Lazar necessarily. Says Gemara basar bebasar michlef basar beperi la michlef. No, there's a big difference. You would more likely confuse basar chaya with basar behema than you would basar with peros. Therefore, a person who eats kachim eats chulin of a chaya b'taras hakodesh as well. Meaning a person who's accustomed to kachim wants to be careful to eat everything al taras hakodesh, even basar chaya, that's chulin, because it's so easy to confuse chaya meat with behema meat. But a person who eats his chulin al taras hakodesh is not going to be so careful about how he eats peros, because he knows that peros are not at all confusable with kodesh, and because they can never become kodesh. So they would not be, the kohanim are not knowing to be matfis basu chulin al taras hatruma. So the Gemara brings the sheet of Ula that says that everyone agrees, that even Rabbi Shur would agree that chulin can be nas al taras hakodesh. Meaning so far what we've presented is the idea that that Rabbi Eliezer had said, right, that Rabbi Elazar had said, Rabbi Elazar Amar Poshia, which is that our Mishnah must not be going like Rabbi Yeshua, because our Mishnah must be assuming that there is a notion of chulin shnas al taras hakodesh, and Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. So now the Gemara is going to bring the shita of Ula that everybody would agree that there is such a thing as chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. Omer Ula, chavraya amrin, the chaverim say that our Mishnah is talking about chulin shnas al taras hakodesh, that our Mishnah has to be talking about chulin shnas al taras hakodesh, and therefore delok Rabbi Yeshua. It's against Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. Meaning that's Ula summarizing what we said up until now, that the chevra has said this, but va'ana amina, I will tell you Rabbi Yeshua, that our Mishnah is even going like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua does not disagree with the notion of chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. He agrees that there could be such a thing. I, when Rabbi Yeshua said b'chulin shnas al taras truma, why did he say dafka chulin shnas al taras truma if he holds that there's even such a thing as chulin shnas al taras kodesh? V'lomi bayi ka'amar. Rabbi Yeshua was saying it in the style of lomi bayi. Lomi bayi chulin shnas al taras kodesh dechamiri de'isbu shlishi elafil chulin shnas al taras truma nami isbu shlishi. What he's trying to say is that you don't even need to say that chulin shnas al taras kodesh has the status of kodesh, because kachim are more chamor, that chulin that has status of kodesh can have a shlishi l'tumah like kachim. But even chulin shnas al taras truma, which isn't as strict as kachim generally, also has such a din of a shlishi l'tumah like truma would. So that's what Ula suggests, that Rabbi Yeshua does not reject the notion of chulin shnas al taras kodesh, and since he does not reject the notion of chulin shnas al taras kodesh, he could also be the author of the Mishnah. But when Ula suggested this, he first summarized what we had said previously, and he said that Chavraya Amrin, that Chavraya said that Rabbi Yeshua does reject it. So man Chavraya, who are these Chavraya? So Rabba Bar Bar Chanahi, the Chavraya are Rabba Bar Bar Chanahi. That comes out from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's understanding of the machlokes of those Rabbi Shur, that Rabbi Shur rejects the notion of chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. But that's who Chavraya is. Tosa says, well, wait a second, we haven't even seen Rabbi Bar Bar Chana yet. The Gemara is now going to present how Rabbi Bar Bar Chana understood the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua to reject chulin shnas al taras hakodesh. Well, why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that Chavraya is Rabbi Bar Chana? We actually did quote a Shita. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshea quoted such a Shita that Rabbi Shur rejects the notion of Chul Nishnasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So why would you say that it's Dafka Rabbi Bar Chana as opposed to Rabbi Lazar? So Tosus points out that it can't be that it's talking about Rabbi Lazar because Rabbi Lazar was Ula's Rebbe. That's clear in Baba Kama Daf Yud Aleph. So there's no way he would have referred to his own Rebbe as Chavraya. Chavraya means the Chavra, my buddies, my colleagues. You don't refer to your own Rebbe as Chavraya. So Mestama, Ula also said things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Ran writes that Rabbi Rabbi Chana was called Chavraya because he said things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Ula also used to say things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So they were both Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. So it makes more sense that Rabbi Bar Chana and Ula were like sort of colleagues, were peers, as opposed to Rabbi Lazar, who is his Rebbe. Okay, that's fine. So that's why Chavraya can't be referring to Rabbi Lazar. But what it doesn't explain, Tosfos points out, is why didn't Ula, you know, Ula's looking for a Shita that holds that Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of Chul Nishnas Taras HaKodesh. If your own Rebbe has such a Shita, why would you go to your peer to quote such a Shita? Why would you quote it from Rabbi Chana? Why not quote it from Rabbi Lazar? I mean, all we've said so far is Ula couldn't have been referring to Rabbi Lazar because he wouldn't call him with such a chutzpahdik way, Chavraya. But why didn't he say Rabbi Lazar? So that Tosfos points out that the fact that Ula didn't quote Rabbi Lazar is because Rabbi Lazar never said it beferish. He only said that the Mishnah is talking about Chul Nishnas Al Taras HaKodesh, and that's it. But he never, that additional point, that Ukimta was Delok Rabbi Yeshua, was the stomach of the Gemara talking. It wasn't Rabbi Lazar saying it beferish. We want to find someone who says beferish that Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of Chul Nishnas Al Taras HaKodesh. So says Gemara, here it is. It's when we learn through the Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, the way Rabbi Bar Chana learns it, you'll see very clearly that Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of Chul Nishnas Al Taras HaKodesh. Dam Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan. Maya Hadri Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua La'adadi. How do Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua respond to each other? Amal Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Yeshua, Matzinu Ochel Chamor Min Ha'ochel. We find that the person who eats is more chamor than the food that is eaten. Where do we find such a thing? Dilu nivlas of tahar bachutz lo metame, a nevela of a kosher bird when it's outside of the human body, when it's just meat, is not metame at all. Dilu ochla metame begadim abes ablia. But the person who eats the nevelas of tahar becomes so tame that even his begadim become tame when he eats it. So you see that the Torah is so much more machmir on the person eating it than it is on the food. Anu vanu heichlonasa ochel kemachel. How can we not at least equate the food with the person, or the person with the food? So it's mistaver to be gozer that the person who eats a rishon should at least be a rishon. Person who eats a sheni should at least be a sheni. Person who eats a shlishi should at least be a shlishi. So this is Rabbi Lazar's point to Rabbi Shua. The reason why I say that you take on the status of tuma of whatever it is that you're eating on a drabana level is that this kein daraisa, because when you eat nevelas of tar, you become more tamei than the food that you're eating. So you should at least become as tamei as the food that you're eating. Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua would respond, nevelas of tar, nevelas of tar, lo gamrinan. We can't learn from nevelas of tar to chiddushu, because the whole idea of nevelas of tar is a chiddush. This is a highly unusual thing. There's no other type of tumah in the Torah where touching it doesn't make you tamei, carrying it doesn't make it. The only thing makes you tummy is swallowing it. There's no other such tumah in the Torah. The whole thing is a chiddush, so you can't learn anything out from a chiddush. So that's why you can't use that as the model from which to learn. Rabbi Lazar would hold, there Rashi says, that you can learn. You're allowed to learn from Nevel Softar to other things. Why? Doesn't Rabbi Lazar hold that it's a chiddush? So in the Sefer Torah Chaim, he suggests that according to Rabbi Lazar, it's not a chiddush. The din of Nevel Softar is not a chiddush, because it's more mistaver that a person should become tameh through eating something than through touching something. It's because al yidei achila, the food becomes part of your body. So if you're eating tameh food, it's more mistaver that it will have a greater impact on you when you eat it than when you touch it, and therefore it's not such a chiddush to say that nevelas of tar is not going to be metame you when you touch it, but it will be metame you when you eat it. That is a very interesting comment, because that assumes that the term chiddush means something that's illogical, that chiddush means that it's something that's so against logic, so memela, if I could explain what the logic is, then it's no longer a chiddush, and then I could use it to learn from. Rav Schachter pointed out, he writes in Eretz HaTzvi, and he points out all the time, that is most likely not what the word chiddush means. The word chiddush, the way it's used in Shas, is davar asoser asaklal, something that goes against the normal rules of the halacha. Because otherwise, kol ha'taru kula is a chiddush. Everything is not mistah. I mean, okay, I would have figured out on my own not to kill. I would have figured out on my own not to steal. Basic moral person could figure these things out. Would I have figured out on my own that I should carry a citron along with a palm branch and, I don't know the English words for it, das men rovos, right? Would I have figured that out on my own? That's also a great chiddush. Everything, a shatness is a chiddush. Everything is a chiddush. So I can't learn a memetzinu from anything in kol ha'taru kula because it's all a chiddush? No, chiddush means that even given the rules that we have within the Torah, here you have something that goes against the rules. On that level, Nevelos of Torah is against the rules, because we never have such a thing, that when it's outside of the body, it's perfectly Torah, and then when you swallow it, all of a sudden it becomes Tumah. Normally, Tumah gets transmitted by touching, by carrying, right? There's Magga, there's Masa, there's Ohel, but you don't have such a thing of Achila. So that's a Dovar, Hasoser, Saklal, Melech L'chora, that's what really makes it a Chiddush. So a difficult comment that the Torah Chaim has over here, to say that it's not a chiddush. The Meloha Roim says that according to Rabbi Lazar, it is a chiddush, but the klal is that you don't learn a memetzinu from a chiddush, but a kal v'chomer you're allowed to learn from a chiddush. That and over here it's a kal v'chomer because we're saying that by nevelos of tahar, the item is tahar and I become tameh. The item is tahar outside, but it makes me tummy. The ochel is more tummy than the machel. So kal v'chomer, that when you eat something that's a rishon, you should at least be like a rishon. You should at least be on the same level. So a kal v'chomer can be used to be, you're allowed to, a chiddush can be used to learn another halacha with the kal v'chomer, just not with the memetzinu. That's also quite a chiddush to say. I mean, that's also quite a novel idea to say. That what's the whole idea that we don't use a chiddush? We assume kol ha'Torah kula is inyan echad in the sense that they all follow, all the dinim of the Torah follow basic klalim. Chiddush is a davar asoser as a klal, so I can't learn anything from the chiddush. Why would a kal v'chomer be any different? It's a big discussion in Akronim. How do we understand kal v'chomer? Is a kal v'chomer just a memetzinu on steroids, meaning it's just like it's a really, really strong memetzinu? Or is a kal v'chomer an entirely different limud? So the Lord Rome seems to be understanding that it's an entirely different limud, because if it were just a memetzinu is based on the idea that you can compare one thing to the other and that they all fit the same basic pattern. So if a kal v'chomer is just like that, it's just like a memetzinu, it should not be able to be derived from a chiddush either, because a chiddush is a davar asoser es haklal. It doesn't fit any pattern. So you'd have to assume that a kal v'chomer is an entirely separate limud, which again is a very novel idea to say that it's an entirely separate limud. So anyway, so Rabbi Shua would say that it would respond to Rabbi Lazar, you can't learn from Nevelos of Torah because it's a chiddush. So the Rabbi Shua says, and also another reason why the one who eats should not be like the food that he eats, meaning when you eat a rishon, you don't become a rishon sheni, becoming a sheni shlishi, becoming a shlishi. El matzinu shamachul chomer mina ochel. Because I'll tell you the opposite, that the food is generally more chomer than the one who eats. Dilem machel bekebetza. Food becomes tamei only with the sheer kebetza. Va'ochel ad achel chatzi pras. But a person who eats tameh food only becomes tameh if he eats a chatzi pras. A chatzi pras is machlokas tanaim, whether it's 3 beitzim, 4 beitzim, but it's way more than a beitza. Vanu hechnasa ochel chamaychel. So if that's the din, that we see that when you eat food, it's more kal than the tumah status of the food itself. So how could you say that you become as tameh as whatever food that you're eating on a drabban level? That if you eat a rishon, you become rishon, you eat a sheni, you become a sheni, you eat a shlishi, you become a shlishi? Rabbi Lazar would respond to Rabbi Yeshua, you're right, as far as the amount of food that you need to eat in order to become tameh, the food itself is more chamor than the person. But tumah mishirun lo gamrinan. You cannot learn the level of tumah from the din of the amount of food that's needed for the tumah va'od. And furthermore, Rabbi Elazar would say to Rabbi Yeshua, lidvarecha, according to you, that the ochel is more kal than the ma'achel, than the food itself, sha'ata omer al rishon sheni yafa'ata omer. So I understand that you wanted to say that if you eat a rishon food, you only become a sheni, because you hold that you have to be on a lower level of tumah than the food that you're eating. Yeah, so that makes sense. But you yourself, Rabbi Yeshua, said sheni, sheni. You also said that if you eat a sheni, you become a sheni. Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua didn't say it always goes one madrega down. He didn't say if you eat a rishon, you become a sheni. If you eat a sheni, you become a shlishi. If you eat a shlishi, you become a revi. He didn't say anything like that. No, he said if you eat a rishon or a sheni, you become a sheni. So I understand your point. If l'shitascha, you're saying if you eat a rishon, you become a sheni because you got to go madrega down. But why do you hold that if you eat a sheni, you become a sheni? L'shitascha, it should go a level down. So Amalo, Rabbi Yeshua would respond back, even though when you eat a rishon food that's a rishon l'tumah, it's not mistaver to make the ochel on the same level of tumah as the machel, but by a sheni l'tumah, there's reason to say that the person who eats it should be on the same level as the machel. Why? Matzinu sheni osa sheni al yedei mashkin. Because we do find that a sheni l'tumah can turn another food into a sheni l'tumah with the medium of a liquid that became tameh from touching the food. That mashkin that becomes tameh by touching a sheni l'tumah becomes a rishon l'tumah, midrabanan. That if you have a mashka that touches a sheni l'tumah becomes a rishon l'tumah. That's a mishnah in the 8th parak of para that call a posel as a truma, anything like a posel truma, meaning a sheni l'tumah can posel truma because truma can become a shlishi. The Mishnah says can turn a mashke into a rishon l'tumah. So any sheni l'tumah that passes truma turns the mashke into a rishon l'tumah, and as a rishon l'tumah, it can turn other food into a sheni l'tumah. So since a sheni has the ability to make another food a sheni, so a sheni can also have the ability to make the person who eats it into a sheni. So Amar Lo, Rav Elazar says back to Rav Yeshua, "V'mashkenami tchila havu." But the mashkin itself that became tamei from a sheni is a rishon l'tumah. Ditan kol posel b'truma tamei mashkin lios tchila chutz mitvul yom. So how can you compare a person who eats a sheni to a food that became tamei al yidei mashkim that was tamei from a sheni? Because you should compare it to the mashkin itself, which is a rishon l'tumah, not a sheni l'tumah. I mean, you want to compare the food to something, don't compare the food to food that became tummy from a mashka, which became tummy from a food. Compare the food to the mashka itself, which became tummy. Compare the person, rather, the person becomes tummy from eating food, to the mashka, which became tummy from the food. And just like mashka that becomes tummy from a food goes and becomes a rishon, the person should also become a rishon. Va'od. And furthermore, Rabbi Elazar asked on Rabbi Yeshua, you're going to tell me that someone who eats a rishon or a sheni himself becomes a sheni, shlishi sheni lama. Why is it that a person who eats a shlishi it would become a sheni l'tumah as well? That makes no sense at all. Meaning, again, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? That no matter what kind of tumah you eat, rishon, sheni, shlishi, you become a sheni. So first Rabbi Elazar challenged. He says, I understand that you want to tell me that a rishon has to become a sheni because it's got to go down to madrega. But he challenges, why does a sheni have to become a sheni? And even if you're going to somehow explain why eating a sheni makes you a sheni because of the mashka business, but why would eating a shlishi make you a sheni? So Amar Lo, Rabbi Yeshua said back, af ani lo amarti ela betruma. I also didn't say that if you eat chulin that's tame as a shlishi. I was only talking about chulin that's a shlishi l'tuma that's nas al taras truma shetaharasa tuma hi eitzel hakodesh, because the tara of truma is considered tame with regard to kodesh. What does that mean? That the Chum made an extra chumrah when it comes to tara, that they were mechayiv guarding kodesh l'shem kachim, that it's not enough to guard it the same level that you would guard something l'shem truma. So a kohen who eats truma and is trying to keep everything tar for the sake of eating truma is still considered tameh with regard to kodesh, meaning his begadim are an avatum of a medras azav legabe kodesh, and it's metameh adam and kelim. So since shmiras truma is not considered on the same level as shmira legabe kodesh, meaning even though I'm being careful, I'm trying not to become tameh because I want to eat truma, as far as kodesh, from a kodesh perspective, you're not being careful at all, and we treat everything you're doing as absolute tumah. So food that's muhsak legabe truma as a shlishi l'tumah, Tumah, we're choshish legabe kodesh, that maybe it's really a sheni. Because legabe kodesh, you're not really careful enough, and we don't assume that it's really been guarded on the level you say it is. And therefore, a person who eats it becomes a sheni legabe kodesh, as far as kodesh is concerned. Ooh, so if that's the case, a shlishi b'chulin, we're going to be able to prove that according to Rabbi Shua, there's no such thing as a shlishi by chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. Why? From Rabbi Rav Chana, this whole explanation of the whole back and forth between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Ula proves that according to Rabbi Rav Chana, there's no such that Rabbi Yeshua would reject the notion of chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, and that there wouldn't be such a din of a shlishi l'tuma by chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar asks Rabbi Yeshua shlishi sheni lama, and he said afani lo amarti el betruma. You see that when Rabbi Yeshua said in our Mishnah bechulin shenas al taras truma, he didn't mean chulin shenas al taras truma and hu adin chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. No, he was Dafka saying chulin shenas al taras truma, and he's trying to say that since we don't find chulin that's a shlishi unless it's nas al taras truma, and you don't find it by nas al taras hakodesh, that's why it's considered a sheni legabe kodesh, and it can make the person who eats it into a sheni. Meaning, what do I mean that Rabbi Yeshua says? What do I mean that there's such a din as food that's chulin that's a shlishi? The only way food that's chulin can be a shlishi is if you're treating it like truma, because there's no such thing as food that's chulin that's treated al taras hakodesh. That concept doesn't exist. The only way food can be that's chulin could be considered a shlishi is if it's nas al taras truma, but because it's nas al taras truma, it's considered to be totally unguarded as far as kodesh is concerned, and that's why a person who eats it is going to become tamei from it. He's going to become a sheni l'tuma from eating it as far as kodesh is concerned. But from that whole conversation, what emerges is that Rabbi Yeshua rejects the notion of chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. That's why he assumed that if we're talking about food that's a shlishi, it has to be chulin that's nas al taras hatruma and not nas al taras hakodesh. Now the Gemara brings the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. If a person eats a shlishi of chulin that's nas al taras hakodesh, Rabbi Shua rejects the notion, but Amr Rabbi Zera, Amr Rabbi Asi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Yanai, ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin shenas al taras hakodesh nasa gufo sheni lakodesh. That if a person eats food that's chulin that's treated with taras hakodesh, he himself becomes a sheni with regard to kodesh. That even the tara of such chulin that is considered tameh legabe kodesh, that rechoshesh, that their shlishi legabe kodesh is really a sheni, and therefore if you eat it, you're a sheni legabe kodesh, just like eating any other sheni. Say, so Rabbi Zeri l'Rabbi Asi, so Rabbi Zeri asked Rabbi Asi that shlishi sheni lekodesh ve'in sheni l'truma. That Rabbi Shua had said that if you a shlishi can become a sheni lekodesh, but not a sheni l'truma, b'chulin shenas al taras truma, and he said that that's only talking about chulin shenas al taras truma. Altar Shuma in Altar's Kodesh low. It's only Altar Shuma that you say it becomes a Sheni. But if you eat Chulin, that's a Shlishi, Altar's HaKodesh, it does not become a Sheni in Kodesh. How could Rabbi Yochanan say this new din that you're eating Chulin Shnas Altar's HaKodesh, that's a Shlishi, all of a sudden you become a Sheni as far as Kodesh is concerned? So Amalei, Lomi Bayi Kamar. That Rabbi Yeshua was really saying a lomi bayi, that not only chulin shenas al taras kodesh is there a din of shlishi l'tuma, because obviously kodesh is more chamur than truma, and therefore certainly there should be such a level of tuma for chulin shenas al taras kodesh. But he was saying even chulin shenas al taras truma, which normally truma is not as chamur as kachim, also has a din of shlishi l'tuma like kodesh. How could you say that's what Rabbi Yeshua means? That when Rabbi Yeshua says chulin shenas al taras truma, he means even chulin shenas al taras truma. He said explicitly that he only means chulin shenas al taras truma. That's how Rabbi Bar Chana learned the whole discussion between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Bar Chana was saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So you see, dafka chulin shenas al taras truma, Rabbi Yeshua considers a sheni l'kodesh. So how could Rav Asi say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yeshua says the same would be true by chulin shenas al taras hakodesh as well? Says Gemara, yeah, they're both quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but I'm a roin in uvali bid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Barchana holds that Rabbi Yochanan learns Rabbi Yeshua shita one way, that it's dafka b'chulin shenas al taras truma. Rabbi Asi holds that Rabbi Yochanan learns Rabbi Yeshua shita another way, that it also applies to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So Amar Ula, Ha'ochel shlishi shel chul nishnas hatash truma nifsal gufo milecho betruma. The shita of Ula, if you eat a shlishi of chul nishnas hatash truma, chulin that's treated like truma, and this is therefore a shlishi l'tzoma, the chulin that you're eating is a shlishi l'tzoma, the person who eats it is now not allowed to eat truma, which is so interesting because he didn't become a sheni, right? He ate a shlishi. He ate what's at worst a shlishi. So he doesn't become a sheni when he touches it, but nevertheless, he's considered a shlishi l'tuma who is not allowed to eat truma tahora. So my kamashman, what's the chiddush? Isn't that obvious from Rabbi Shua Tanina? Rabbi Shua had said that shlishi sheni l'kodesh, that if a person eats food that's a shlishi, becomes a sheni as far as kodesh is concerned, vein sheni l'truma, but he's not a sheni as far as truma is concerned, b'chulin shenas altaris truma. And we're talking about a person who ate chulin shenas altaris truma, that itself was a shlishi. So shouldn't we be able to make the diuk on our own, that when we say that a person who eats a shlishi of chulin shenas altaris truma does not himself become a sheni, that yeah, sheni hu delohavi, hashlishi havi. The logical diuk is, he doesn't himself become a sheni, but he himself should become a shlishi. That if you're eating a shlishi, you become a shlishi. And as a shlishi l'tuma, you should not be allowed to eat truma tahora. Because just like truma, when you are tahor, you can't eat truma that's a shlishi l'tuma. When you are a shlishi l'tuma, you can't eat truma that is tahor. Says Mar Ime Ahi, had it only been from that Mishnah, it still wouldn't be so clear that if you eat a shlishi, you become a shlishi and that you're not allowed to eat truma. Because Hava Mina, lo sheni havi, vilo shlishi havi. I would have thought that if you eat this chulin shnas l'taras of truma that's a shlishi, not only do you not become a sheni, you don't become a shlishi either. You're entirely tar. Why then would Rabbi Shua just say, ain't sheni l'truma, that you don't become a sheni? He should say you're totally tar. The idea amar sheni b'kodesh amar nami ain sheni b'truma. But since he said that you don't become a sheni as far as kodesh is concerned, so he says, since he says you do become a sheni as far as kodesh is concerned, so he wanted to say as far as truma is concerned, you don't become a sheni. But he really meant you don't even become a shlishi. So that's why kamash malan. That's why it has to tell me that Rabbi Shua was very precise in his language, that he specifically said you don't become a sheni l'truma, but in fact, you do become a shlishi l'truma. So, Eisvei Rav Hamnuna l'Ula, Rav Hamnuna challenges Ula. It says in the Mishnah, the second paragraph, Taros, Harishon Shebechulin, food that touches an avatuma, which is a rishon l'tuma, that's chulin. Tamei umetamei, it is tamei, and it has the ability to be metamei other food and make it a sheni l'tuma. It can make which in turn can make truma a shlishi and pasul it. Vasheni posel ve'inu metamei. Food that itself is only a sheni can pasul truma, but cannot be metame truma to the extent that it could be metame something else, because there's nothing beyond the shlishi in the world of truma. Vashlishi nechel benezir adema, and food that itself is a shlishi l'tuma, chulin food that's a shlishi l'tuma, chulin that's nas al taras truma, is nechel benezir adema. It could be eaten in a tavshil that has actual truma mixed in. So this shlishi can be mixed in with this chulin that is a shlishi. You can put truma spices in this very food, because truma does not become pasul by touching a shlishi l'tuma. But v'iyam nifsal gufam. But if you say that someone who eats a shlishi shel chulin is not allowed to eat truma, how could it be that you can take something that's a shlishi l'chulin, mix truma into it, and then eat it? If a guy who eats a shlishi l'truma becomes a shlishi l'truma, a guy who eats the chulin shnas l'taras truma that's a shlishi becomes pasul to eat truma, how can he eat food that has spices that are truma in it? You can't ask a kasha from that particular case of nezira dema, of mixing in the chulin that's shlishi l'tuma with spices that are truma, to lek kazayis b'chtei achilas pras, because there is no kazayis b'chtei achilas pras. The chiyuv of eating truma when you are tame is only if you eat kazayis. How much spices are you already putting into the food that you're never going to be eating? You're never going to be in violation of eating truma b'tumas haguf, because the isra isra of eating trum b'tumas haguf is only if you eat a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. And there's no way that you have that much spices, that many spices in the food. So if it takes you longer than the amount of time that it takes a kazayis achilas pras, which it will before you get a kazayis of the spices, it's not going to be in violation of this halacha. Okay, but from tomorrow we pick up with Amar Yonasan and the Rebbe.